Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. I love entrepreneurs. Always have and always will. I can't help myself, as I was raised in an entrepreneurial family. The other day, I was at a gym to work out, actually to test it out, as I was provided a guest pass to visit and tell them what I thought about it, what I think. Now, if I love business and entrepreneurs, I probably love staying fit just as much as I love entrepreneurs and business and eating well and just sort of having a proper diet and that. So you can imagine I took the tour, I checked out the facilities, I used the equipment, but here is where my mind went. Just as you can know the ideas that I think about in business overall. Business is all about numbers. So I started counting people, 20, 50, 100, 200, well over 300 people. I figured there was 300 people at this location. It was noisy and loud and a little bit smelly and cramped. And to be honest with you, a little dirty. So I needed to regular maintenance and sort of an eye for detail. That's what I figured overall. There were a lot of things missed from a pure customer service experience that the management team should be addressing. Regardless, 300 people at $50 a pop, that's $15,000 a month and plus services and additional to that. See, it's basically a certain type of business. What a business I thought. They have created a membership business with a monthly cash flow and the way you go. It is an interesting business model, membership and subscription model. A lot of organizations have moved from the product, service, purchasing model to the dues and subscription model. Examples exist everywhere. For example, look at the software industry where you used to purchase your software for your home or your business. Now you can pay monthly or annual subscription fee for that same software. So I was thinking, who might I connect with in the Canadian marketplace who knows something about consumer data-driven business strategies and the retail industry? And into my life walked Catherine. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Richard.
I'm totally stoked to have you here. And before we actually started the show, I was telling you why, because I really, truly love entrepreneurs.
Which is perfect.
And you're a young entrepreneur.
I am.
And I'd like to commend you on that. But before we get started in terms of your entrepreneurial journey, let's start telling the listeners a little bit about yourself. So first of all, I didn't use the full name of your company and I didn't mention your last name. So maybe we'll start there.
Yeah. So my name is Catherine Matricki. I'm the founder of Calia Flowers. And we're a new Winnipeg startup. We're in month 17 of the business, which is really exciting.
Month 17 of the business. So that is a fairly new new business indeed. Say the name of the company again.
Calia Flowers. So C-A-L-L-I-A.
Calia Flowers. So let's just back up a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself personally first.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Winnipeg, a proud Fort Richmond background. Did high school here and then went out to the West Coast, spent some time in Vancouver, did a business degree at UBC.
Okay.
And then headed to Toronto and spent some time in a career in marketing there. So most of my time was at Procter & Gamble, spent a lot of time doing brand management, mostly in shave care. So Gillette, if you want to talk about shaving, I'm your girl.
Sure. Okay. I'm a guy, okay. Never mind. Okay. So that's a really great background overall. I have to ask, you mentioned Fort Richmond. Did you go to Acadia Junior High School?
I didn't. I went to private school.
Oh, you went to private school? We did with our boys too. I'm just curious because I moved to Winnipeg in 1977, lived in Fort Richmond, went to Acadia Junior High School.
Got it. I know the neighborhood well.
Yeah, you know the. No, okay, good. Lots of change in that particular neighborhood itself. I'm curious a little bit before we start talking about your business and everything. You were just talking a little bit about your background. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about how Procter & Gamble prepared you for what you started off 17 months ago and just sort of bring us up to that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I walked in completely green into P&G straight out of university, and they really put you through the paces in terms of teaching you marketing and brand management. And when you're working in consumer packaged goods, really marketing ends up being more like a mini business role rather than pure marketing. And so I started on the Braun business, so electric shavers, and was really responsible for delivering the results for that brand. And so had to work with teams of salespeople, research people, advertising groups, et cetera, to deliver the numbers that we needed to for Braun sales that year. And so if I think back to it, that was really the prepping ground for now running a business myself in terms of knowing how to pull all those different leaders to deliver those top line numbers.
Okay. So yeah, and I think that it's always interesting where you get your foundation, right? And I mentioned being raised in an entrepreneurial family. Same idea, you know, like obviously a little bit differently in the sense that shoe and clothing business, retail, food, those kind of things. But I learned about cash flow and I learned about advertising and stuff like this. And then my first career sort of added things onto that. I went off and was a research analyst for a management consulting firm, mm-hmm. working with all sorts of things. I know I'm telling you a little bit of my story. I can't help but want to share because I love sharing with young entrepreneurs. But that laid the foundation for the other things I did in my life. It's amazing how the things you do can set the stage for the other things you do in your life.
And somehow you don't even think about it at the time, but you think back to those experiences and they all pull through.
Yeah, and you start to look at it and go, wow, I just use this. You know, it's something I learned, well, for me, it'd be 30 years ago. You know, I went, wow, you know, how is that relevant today?
Yeah.
Yet how the market has changed so much. Maybe that's a good sort of question to go into before we start talking about online business, right?
Yes.
Your present business is an online business.
It is, yeah.
In what way did your education and your work experience prepare you for what you're doing now?
I think it's understanding how to make strategic decisions based on a set of data and changing circumstances. And entrepreneurship is all about making educated guesses that you hope are going to succeed. But in today's entrepreneurial space, especially in startup, we talk a lot about failing fast.
Oh, yeah.
And making sure that, you know, I think we're going to go do this. I'm going to execute quickly. And if it works, great. But if it doesn't, now we know what not to do. And so we've made a lot of those choices with Kalia that have helped us to continue to grow.
It's interesting you would say that because I have a 30-year consulting industry background, and we would always say, and from the first time I walked through the door, sorry, I'm losing my voice here a little bit, do first, ask for forgiveness later.
Yes.
And it's a little different, but in other words, we're willing to step out and give it a try, and then if it didn't work, hey, almost in true Canadian fashion, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Move on to the next thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a very valuable thing. So I always like that concept of fail fast. Does it say fail often?
We try not to fail often, but we fail every day. I mean, it's part of the virtue of being a startup and growing quickly. We're really excited about 1,400% growth versus last year. And
wow.
In order to get to those numbers, you have to be willing to take some risks.
Risks.
We do that every day.
So maybe that's a good question to sort of start on. You talked about the strategic thinking side of the
mm-hmm.
equation. You call it strategic decisions.
Yeah.
Let me just step back. Can you share an area where you might have failed?
Oh, Richard, we fail all the time.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of a good example. I think, you know, we're coming up to Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And last year, Valentine's Day for us was month 5 of the business. And
okay.
So it was early, early. And I had an opportunity to partner with a much larger organization who came to me and said, hey, Catherine, you know, we're going to deliver you all this demand for Valentine's Day. I got really excited, didn't really think about the numbers, and just kind of plunged head first.
Jumped in.
And we ordered a ton of inventory, which in the perishable flower business is a challenge. And then we were wrong. We weren't big enough as a business, and the demand didn't come in. And so on February 15th last year, I stood at the street corner at Portage in Maine, and I sold bouquets for $20 from my car, which was an insane experience. But Richard, I learned a lot.
We learned a lot.
Trusting the data, making sure we have the foundation, not just blindly running in. And this year, Valentine's Day, we're projected to do 15 times what we did last year, and I'm not going to be standing on the street corner.
Well, good. I think what we can do is we'll take a short break, and maybe we'll start off with the idea of doing what you need to do to make the sales when something doesn't work. This
sure.
is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Catherine. She has a business in the flower business, an online flower business, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I love the story about what happened to you last year as a young entrepreneur, and then having to figure out how to move your product rapidly, and obviously discounting the product, I would think, and selling it out of your vehicle itself. Very valuable lesson learned. What do you think is the most valuable lesson you learned there?
You know, I think as an entrepreneur, there's a lot of perception that it's you know, all fairy tale, that you get to choose your own destiny and all of that. And I've learned that you work harder as an entrepreneur than I ever have in any role.
Yeah.
Because your commitment is as much to every single experience, because it's a reflection of yourself. And so we have 100% happiness guarantee at Kalia, which I take very seriously. And so even though we now are in 4 different cities across Western Canada, we have teams of people packing flowers, delivering delivering, et cetera. This past Sunday, I made a delivery. 6 p.m., a woman wasn't home during the day. She had a funeral, et cetera. And I drove to Transcona and delivered a bouquet at 6 p.m. on Sunday.
And you're the CEO.
I am.
Yeah,
and
do
we
what you
do it because
do.
Of that commitment. Because when you send flowers, it's not just like ordering a pizza or buying a pair of shoes. It's an emotional connection. And so we have to be so committed, which we do with our 100% happiness guarantee.
You know, it's interesting you say 100% happiness guarantee and being the CEO, the owner, delivering flowers. Mm-hmm. Because I always remember the story, very first story I read about a tech company where the CEO had 100 employees. Mm-hmm. Didn't pay himself a salary.
I'm there, Richard. Right? We don't quite have 100, but I'm not taking a salary.
but 100 employees. And at night, he would drive a truck.
Yeah.
And he would go out and drive a truck so he'd keep a roof on his head, clothes on the back, food on the table for his family while he actually ran his company during the day. And to me, that's the quintessential entrepreneur story. Right?
Always. Yeah.
Always. You are an online company. And I know one of the big buzzwords, I'm going to use it as a buzzword. You know what word I'm going to use is disruption today. Disruption being, my understanding, is really changing the way we do business.
It is.
Often Amazon's the one that's quoted as being a big disruptive company in terms of changing distribution lines and everything. You seem to be very big into the sort of disruption thinking. So maybe give us some thoughts on that.
For sure. So Callie is disrupting the floral industry. I think the word is appropriate. When you think about the traditional experience, and the reason I started Callie was I wanted to send flowers. My only option was to call a florist, spend 15 minutes on the phone trying to describe what I wanted, or go into a grocery store myself and have to deliver it. And I didn't do either. And I thought, you know, somebody has to do this better, especially coming up to Valentine's Day. It's an important challenge. And so we do things differently. So it's all online ordering, less than 6 clicks at CalliaFlowers.com. We only do 3 bouquets at a time based on what's in season. So you don't have to choose like, oh, do I want the pink ones or the white ones or the blue ones? And how much do I want to spend? All of that. We only do 3 bouquets based on what's in season again. And then we pack them in these really sexy boxes. And so people talk about it's almost like an Apple experience or a Tiffany experience when that box arrives. And so it's really made the whole process of ordering and sending flowers much easier, much better value, and also a better and more exciting experience when the flowers arrive.
Okay. And so that's the way you're disrupting. Now, isn't there other companies that do the same thing in the industry that you're doing?
So often people refer to someone like a 1-800-Flowers or an FTD.
Yeah.
Those guys are syndicates. So they take your money, they take 30% off the top, and then they pass your order down to a florist who has to fulfill your order with whatever they've got left.
Yeah. Okay.
They're trying to match a picture of what's online. It's often the flowers that are stuck in the back of their cooler. And so the end of the experience, we often hear from customers, is really embarrassing for the $100 or $150 that they paid. Our bouquets are $49 and $69 and generally get you about 40% more value than what you'd get from a traditional online syndicate or from a traditional florist.
So if the other online, you use online syndicate or traditional florist, let's go with online syndicate because I sort of can wrap my head around that. So they're obviously putting the orders, as you've mentioned, out to other florists and they're fulfilling it. So do you have a fulfillment center? I'm going to call it a fulfillment center, your own fulfillment center.
So what we have warehouses in each city from which we pick and pack. And so we're fortunate to be able to be in Winnipeg and Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver and manage the process end to end. And so we don't have to worry about, you know, the quality control or what actually showed up at the customer's house. And we hear from our customers, we have a 75% repeat rate within 6 months of somebody ordering flowers, which we are so proud of. We consistently have five-star reviews. And people say that they're blown away, that we under-promise and over-deliver with the quality of what we give.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Logistics, did I count the right
cities?
Four locations? So I added a city in there.
Yeah.
Well,
soon,
I know when I go,
soon,
right,
Richard,
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, because when I go, I've worked pretty much all my life in Western Canada. Well, I've worked internationally, but the big cities, you know, you can name them on your hand in Western Canada, right? You know where you're going to be going to the five cities or so that you're doing business in. In terms of logistics, how does the logistics work with having warehouse type locations in each city?
So, you know, we pre-plan our inventory. We purchase flowers for each city. And then we pick and pack our bouquets in the morning as we need to and do same day delivery for bouquets as required. We've got great delivery teams in each city that help us with delivery within 3 or 4 hours if we need to. And it's a logistics challenge, especially at the holidays, but it's been really effective for us.
What I find interesting, though, is you talk about flowers in season. So you don't have to think about it, right?
Yeah.
So there's a Christmas season, there's a Valentine's season, there's an Easter season.
Yeah.
Am I getting it right?
Yeah, and really the growing season, more than just the holiday season.
Okay,
is what we worry
about. So then you have different locations. Mm-hmm. So we go Western Canada, yeah. right? Is there different growing seasons per location?
It really depends, Richard. So in Canada, we're fortunate to be able to source most of our flowers from Vancouver and Victoria, depending on the season.
That's what I was wondering.
But we're not
right?
growing a lot of flowers seasonally in Winnipeg in the middle of January.
No, unless you're indoors.
Correct. Yeah. So most of our flowers we source from Vancouver and Victoria and then are able to bring them into our different locations. Okay. Sometimes we go down to California, even into South America if we need to, depending on the season. But even in those, there's definitely different times of the year in which different flowers come. And you would know a lot of them. The springtime is daffodils and tulips. Yeah. So we get into Christmas, it's all the Christmas greens. But we find rather than having to try and stock a daffodil in November or stock, I don't know, Christmas greens in April, we're able to do things based on what's in season, which is much better quality flowers, much fresher flowers, and much better value.
Yeah, so that I think that's where it comes down. That's why I was asking that question around the logistics and the idea of seasonality of flowers and tying back into that. Because, you know, when we hit, well, Canada, we all know the challenges, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, what winters can be like. Obviously, British Columbia, a little bit more flexible when we start to talk about Vancouver and things like this. So it does make for its own little challenges. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, maybe we should talk about the challenges of operating a small business.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out today with Catherine. We're talking a little bit about disruption and online business. I always like to, by the time I get to my third segment, to sort of say I have a new best friend, you know, it's now Catherine, as part of the online floral business. Challenges, you know, you started this company, okay, and so let's just talk about being a budding entrepreneur, starting a business. We never did ask the question, why the floral business? So let's start there.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from, you know, what you've learned.
Totally. While I was working in marketing, I am not ashamed to admit I knew nothing about flowers. There's a couple hilarious segments from when we started where people would ask me on camera, you know, Catherine, what's in this bouquet? And I'd say, well, there's pink ones and there's purple ones. But since then, I've become much more educated. We know a lot about the floral business now.
Well, okay. Yeah. No, okay. So I like that. I like that because I think sometimes with entrepreneurs, most entrepreneurs actually that I meet, they are what I refer to as technical professionals, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. They have an expertise in something. They worked for a while in that expertise for somebody else, and then they decide to start their own company within that same expertise. But you didn't do that. You took an expertise in marketing
yes.
and picked something else business. So I understand you didn't understand the business, but why did you pick the floral business, where you could have picked something else.
Yeah, you
could
know,
picked the chocolate business.
Totally.
Which would be awesome, too. Let's go make a chocolate business like this.
It'd be fun.
Yeah,
you know, we talked at the beginning about how I had that brainwave around, should I go to the florist or should I go to the grocery store? And it was May 2016 when one of my best friends got promoted. And I had that exact light bulb moment. And I was working full-time in marketing here in Winnipeg. And I said, you know, somebody should really solve this. And I started very slowly. You know, 4 months later, we shipped our first box. I was still working full-time and then gradually said, well, I think this might be a business. And maybe we should jump in full time. And so in January 2017, I jumped in full time and haven't really looked back since then.
So I like the fact that you used the words, why don't somebody solve this?
Mm-hmm.
You found a problem to solve.
Exactly.
What was the problem? Let's state the problem. What was the problem that you see?
It takes too long and it's too expensive to send flowers.
It takes
which
too
is a
long,
functional
too expensive.
Problem.
Is
yeah,
a functional
and then the quality,
problem.
Kind of the quality of flowers kind of goes with that as well. So it takes too long and it's too expensive to send kind of subpar quality flowers. So we go in with it's much faster, it's
yeah.
much less expensive, and the yeah. quality of the flowers is way better.
So that was the start
yeah.
right there. You figured out a problem to solve and then you decided, and not just figured it out, you actually decided to do something about it.
Yeah,
because
and
I think,
that's how Callie was born.
Yeah, I think everybody has a moment where they see a problem, they figure out what a solution is to it, but then that's where it stops, right? Everybody has, the old expression is everybody has $1 million idea.
Yeah.
Maybe today it should be a $10 million idea with inflation, right? But because everybody has $1 million ideas is an old expression. But it sounds to me like that's basically, you know, what you had. I'm curious about the name of your company. I know you've thrown it out a few times and everything. Callie Flowers, did I pronounce
Correct.
It correctly?
Yeah.
I'm always afraid to pronounce names. because it's, you never know. Why that name?
So Callie is a bit of a testament to my heritage. So I have a Polish background and I wanted something that could be an iconic brand name, but also had a bit of personal significance to me. So Callie is the word for lily in Polish. And then we spelled it a little bit differently. And we also know consumer psychology tells us that words with a K sound in them are more memorable. So Starbucks, IKEA, and so Calia has that same K sound that makes it more memorable for consumers.
Wow. So yeah. So they look for that that sort of that K or the
exactly.
C sound and,
yeah.
and getting.
Although ours is with a C, C-A-L-L-I-A, but it's got the K.
Got the K. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's important to actually say that. I think it's great that you tied it back into your heritage, sort of thinking that part through and making that work for you mm-hmm. overall. Branding, you figured out a problem to solve. You identified a name of a company that's based on some psychological research. So that's awesome that you did that. You took that into consideration. What can you say about branding? I mean, obviously, there's been challenges along the way.
Yeah, I mean, for us, the brand started as just being the visual representation. I think people think about that a lot when they think of brand. Do you have a logo? Do you have a color? Do you use the same
font? Where's your business card?
Exactly.
What's your web page look like?
And we invested in that at the beginning for sure, because I wanted to make sure we had a consistent experience and something that people could trust. We talk about Calia being to the floral industry, kind of what Starbucks was for the coffee industry on a much smaller scale so far, but how Starbucks came into an industry that was heavily mom and pop, some great experiences, some less consistent experiences, and said, we're going to offer you a guarantee of the quality and experience every time. And now you know what Starbucks experience is in coffee. And so we're doing something similar. We want people to know what the Calia experience is every time. And part of that is in the look and feel of the brand, but it's also all the way through how every touch point, how we talk to you makes it easy and simple, how we go above and beyond and we really care every time. Like, all of that has become part of our brand.
Okay. So just adding all those different benefits and quality control or quality of service components in. I'm curious, do you have a set of list of values, core values?
We do. And you'll challenge me to think off the top of my head, but we talk about going above and beyond.
Okay.
We talk about failing fast.
Yeah.
We talk about always being pivoting and ready to disrupt.
Okay. There's
a lot of those in there.
So one of the other things that just sort of came to mind while you were talking, you're making me reflect on my life. Like, it's really quite, I got all these stories I want to share with you, having been a lifelong entrepreneur, but I know I can't, right? I mean, not right now. But anyway, I couldn't help but investing in your success. Like most entrepreneurs that I know, they don't wake up one morning and they have a bank account where they can just sort of start their company and everything is the way you go. You've had to think through the financial side of your business. Mm-hmm. What has that experience been like for you?
You know, it's a challenge. And at the beginning, we talked about how I wasn't sure that Cali was going to be anything. And so I threw a little bit of cash in, did it on the side, bootstrapped the whole business for the kind of the first year.
Yeah.
And then there's been times where it's been a challenge, not having a salary once I'd moved into Cali full time. I'm fortunate to have a fiance who has a very steady engineering job and keeps the mortgage paid.
Yeah, there you go.
But
right?
Then last summer, we decided we wanted to move faster than what bootstrapping could accommodate. And so we raised an equity round and brought in some investors and did a seed round of financing that's enabled us to now continue to
move
grow.
Forward
exactly.
from there.
Yeah.
You're using the term bootstrapping.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm going to assume that the audience listeners don't know what that is.
Yeah.
What's bootstrapping?
Using whatever little cash you have yourself to put it into the business. So rather than taking a huge loan or taking a bunch of financing up front, doing it yourself.
Yeah, equity type of thing out of your home or whatever. I mean, there's all sorts of options to finance something today, right?
Yeah.
Though, I often have guests on, they'll often say that traditional banks are often not the way to go because they're a little bit tighter in terms of financing and stuff and working with you. So I think the investment side in that is such a big challenge for most entrepreneurs, because it is the question of, you talked earlier, I think the segment one, about people often think that, you've got all this freedom and everything when you become an entrepreneur. But the truth is that it actually tugs and pulls on every fiber of your being, right? Your business and everything too. Cash flow wise, you have a subscription type business. Tell us a little bit about your subscription model. I love subscription models, because the
so
idea is that monthly cash flow, right? So, but you explain it.
It actually came out of a consumer need. So we were originally selling just individual bouquets, and then we had, and I stereotype here, but we had some guys come to us and say, I'd really like to get that same experience on a more frequent basis. Can you build me something? And we said, well, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And so we offer monthly subscriptions for 3 months or 6 months, or you can do a kind of build your own adventure and do, I want to send every 2 weeks or every 7 weeks or whatever that looks like. You put in your own custom messages for every bouquet, which is really cool. So you can order now, Richard, and say, okay, I'm going to send 6 bouquets. I'm going to write all the messages from now until August. And so her message in July is going to be, because it's a beautiful sunny day and I was thinking of you, here's some flowers that you love. And so they try and make it spontaneous, but it's really lovely.
And they have it done ahead of time. You know what? I want to come back and talk about this because often with either clients or guests, I like to talk about the demographics of their business and the psychographics of their business. So why don't we take a short break and we'll talk a little bit about that because you hit a chord with me on that one. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I've been talking flowers. Well, at least the flower business or part of the business itself. Just before the break, Catherine, we were talking a bit about demographic and psychographics because you made a very interesting phrase. You made a statement about how the guys gave you an idea. Mm-hmm. Is that an okay way
That's
to say
correct,
it?
That's
correct, yeah. So I wanted to sort of jump off on that. Like, did they say or whoever it was come to you and say, well, why don't you have like a membership subscription thing? Was that really what you were meaning?
Yeah. How do I get this experience more consistently than having to order every single time? And it's easy to order. Like, it's super simple. They can do it in like 30 seconds. But they said, I even just want this to be automated so I don't forget. That was kind of the key.
That was the key. So yeah. So your customer set gave you the idea. Now, here's what I'm curious about. 17 months ago, you started this business, mm-hmm. right? And so you started off with a thought, an idea, and everything. When you looked at demographics or psychographics, so we'll talk the distinction, maybe we'll go demographics first. Did you have an idea who you were going to be selling to? Who did you think you were going to be selling to?
Yeah, you know, because the business idea came out of my need to send flowers and my position as a young, busy professional looking to kind of get this done while doing a million other things at the same time, yeah. We thought that this was going to be a really good fit for people in that same demographic. Too busy, need a fast way to send flowers in a way that they can kind of guarantee the quality.
Yeah.
And that has held true. So the majority of our customers are kind of in that 25 to 45 demographic, both female and male, although we tend to have different groups sending for different occasions. Typically, our male consumers send for Valentine's Day, send for birthdays, send for anniversaries. They also tend to buy into subscriptions because that's a really great way to kind of celebrate consistently.
Yeah.
And on the female side, they send for just becauses. Thanks for walking my dog. Thanks for having me for dinner. They also do subscriptions, but they do subscriptions to grandma as opposed to subscriptions for their husbands.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now, isn't that interesting? That's fascinating.
It is.
And that's what I was wondering about because I have this belief, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's always proven, but I believe your customers sometimes in a business will pick you as opposed to you picking them.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true in terms of how the business has evolved and some of the programs we've been able to develop. We also had in the business community, a number of customers come to us and say, you know, how do I do this for my clients? People in the real estate industry, in the mortgage industry, people, midwives, doctors, any of those people saying I'd love to celebrate on a more consistent basis. And that same idea of how do you pivot quickly based on what your customers have asked for? We now have a pre-purchase program. You buy a digital wallet, $2,000 of flowers, however many you're going to send for the year, load up your digital wallet, and now it's 3 clicks to redeem a bouquet instead of 6.
Well, there you go. And that's maybe an opportunity for a corporate or business type
it
environment,
is. Yeah.
Which is interesting you would say that because I too have a background at one point in time in direct marketing. And part of direct marketing back then, you know, customer relationship management was really huge. Mm-hmm. And then knowing when their birthdays were, knowing when the special events were, and then maybe gifting them, right?
Exactly.
Especially if you had a service business and trying to make sure that you were putting a personal touch to it so they'd always remember you.
Yeah.
Right?
And we have interesting stats. You know, 93% of people remember the last time they received flowers. And 95% of people say that receiving flowers makes them feel special. So when you think about it, you're in the service industry. You want to be memorable and you want to make them feel great.
Yeah.
Flowers are a really good way to do it. If you can do it simply, as opposed to this whole rigmarole of trying to find them, it's a really nice fit.
Well, I think that's an interesting piece that you're saying here, because when you look at so, and right now we can talk personally or we can talk business. To me, they're almost balanced in the sense that when you're looking at gifting people, one of the biggest challenges often is what are you going to gift them?
Yeah.
You know, so if you do run a business and everything, you know, people gift you their mugs. They gift you, and it's their what do you call it, swag? Is that the word that's used for it?
Yeah, I think so.
And so then you end up getting all this stuff. Well, I don't know about you, but at some point in time with all this swag, I get rid of that swag, right? I can't use it all and everything. There's periodically I do get one gift from a client or from another business I'm working with that maybe I'm their client and that I keep, but most of it I don't. So the flower one is quite interesting.
Absolutely, it is.
We were talking a little bit about, well, time of year. Okay, so you gave us an incredible story about your first Valentine experience. obviously, your first Valentine experience in business, a flower business.
Yeah.
So fast forward, Tell us about Valentine's now.
Yeah, Wednesday is Valentine's Day. So it's just a couple days out, and we're projecting to do 15 times what we did last year across our four cities, which is really exciting. That will be our second biggest day of the year. So Mother's Day is number one and Valentine's Day is number two. And, you know, Richard, it's a logistics challenge. We expect to see vast majority of our orders come in on the 13th and 14th, which means that it's a logistical challenge in terms of making sure that we can coordinate all the same day deliveries and all the way through. So we expect to be taking orders all the way until noon on the 14th, but it's going to be a logistical, it's going to be very interesting.
what have you changed in terms of maybe the traditional, I'm going to call it seasonal product, mm-hmm. but I mean, in this case here, we're talking about Valentine's. So what have you changed in terms of the Valentine's product?
Yeah, so we're taking a stand this year. We have decided not to sell a dozen roses. So that's the kind of cliche that everybody sends. And unfortunately, at Valentine's Day, there's a couple problems with that. The quality of a dozen roses isn't great at Valentine's Day. It's also super expensive. Like, you're going to spend more than $100 on a dozen roses. And often, because the quality isn't there, they don't last all that long. So we're doing three bouquets ourselves for Valentine's Day. They're beautiful mixes of seasonal product, eucalyptus, leucodendron, we've got berries, we've got lavender all the way from Italy. There's tons of stuff. But what that means is that our bouquets are better value. So we're doing $49, $69, and $89 bouquets. And then they're going to last like 2+ weeks each time. And they're really beautiful, kind of modern bouquets.
Okay. So yeah. that's the distinction. It's interesting you would say that because we were joking during the break that I've been married forever.
Yes.
And officially 25 years, March, but in a relationship with the same person for 32, yeah. Right? So it's been a long time. And I buy my wife flowers.
Excellent.
But when I buy her flowers, I never actually buy her roses. And
okay.
If I do buy rose, and I'd use singular, it'll be one rose in a group of flowers.
Lovely.
And then that's it.
There you go, Richard. You're our ideal customer.
There you go. I'm already there. Well, I'm already looking at your phone number.
Yeah.
And that. Out of curiosity, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
So the best way is online, calliaflowers.com. So CALLIAflowers.com. Or we've got lots of people over the phone who are glad to take orders. So 204-500-1125 is our phone number. But online is by far the easiest.
Yeah. I was actually checking out your website and I read up on you a little bit before you came on the show and I went, oh, this is pretty cool. I like the simplicity.
Yeah.
I sometimes go to websites and I'm sitting there because I do this for every one of my guests. I actually go and check out their, what I call their internet profile, right? And sometimes I sit there and I look, oh my gosh, what do I do?
Yeah.
Right? I found yours very simplistic. What does the future hold for your company?
I wish I could tell you, Richard. I mean, we continue to grow. I talk about 1,400% growth. That's not changing
anytime soon.
Huge. We intend to get deeper in every city that we're in and expand out east. So that's kind of the future where we're going. But
yeah.
We really rely on people to buy into what we're doing and continue to support kind of a technology startup in a space that hasn't really had technology before.
And you are considered, that's interesting, you are considered a technology startup.
We are. It's because we operate in kind of a space that's unique to e-commerce. So perishable product, delivery, so gifting of bouquets as opposed to just buying a pair of shoes for yourself. And there's a number of other nuances around subscription, et cetera. So a third of our head office team is developers. So they've been building kind of all the systems that support a clean and consistent experience for the customer.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's actually good to know. What a show we've been having. I've been, you know what, I find that I could probably sit here and talk to you all day long and ask you all sorts of questions, but we are on a time crunch sometimes. So I'm just having a great time chatting with you. If you had a final thought for our guests, what would it be?
You know, we're really proud to be a Winnipeg startup. And if you think about 17 months ago, this just being an idea, I think my best advice is just to start, that technology can really make important changes in people's lives. And Callia is really proud to be making that flower experience special, but it all starts with that, just kind of move forward and test. And we're proud to have done it.
And I'd like to see if I could add something in there with you actually, because it sounds to me, it's not just sort of doing the technology startup piece. It sounds like finding an opportunity, a problem to solve, and some way to disrupt the industry with that, with solving that problem. Does that make a lot of sense?
Absolutely. We did it with flowers, but that's just Callia. You can
do
it with anything.
Yeah, you could pick it another product or something or another service that actually might be something that people would be interested in. And that's what I've learned from you today.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
And hanging out with me. And listen, if you have a thought for the show, you know, by all means, send me a note at richard@setforsuccess.com. That is a thought, an idea, a guest. Even if you can't seem to connect with Catherine, you want to connect for me, I'll be more than happy to introduce you guys. And I do want you to remember a few things: to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.